Okay. Well, it's been a while since we have been together in this way. And I am grateful that we have begun again. We will not be reading from the book tonight. And so before we begin, let's all take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening, and welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet. We've talked before about your getting a divorce from the father. We've talked about the act of independence, in which you and another son or daughter of God said, "Father, we'd rather do it our way. Father, we'd rather define what everything is. Father, we would rather think for ourselves." Instead of always and only acknowledging the movement of your infinite mind, always behaving in deference to you. And we talked about the fact that when you made the decision to act on your own, two things came into play: fear and guilt. Now, we've talked about how fear and guilt can be used by you as triggers to accomplishment, as the justification for improving yourselves. And in that sense, fear and guilt are cast in a so-called constructive light. But there's an aspect to it, which is actually its real aspect, and it is not constructive. It is not comfortable. It is not kind or loving or promotive of any good thing. What you find behind the so-called positive use you're putting it to, that it is nothing more than a terrorizer. It tells you that you have denied God, and that therefore you are guilty of a profound sin, and therefore you had better not approach the Father in any way. Don't even think about the Father in any way. It scares you. And does everything it can to promote ongoing fear so as to prevent you from returning to the Father and instead promoting your independent self so that you might become what the ego now tells you is the Father's goal for you, to be an independent will successfully and prove your worth, your value, and your validity. And so, using terror, using fear of that which would solve your problems, it goads you into defending yourself, protecting yourself, and getting your brothers and sisters who have also decided to try to be independent to join with you, either through cooperation or manipulation, to secure the brotherhood of man, we'll say, these organisms that have nothing to do with God. Now, my language is not too strong. The ego is a terrorizer. And it governs every single individuality who has gotten this imaginative divorce from his Father and is ignoring his Father or her Father totally. The result is a life of suffering, which is made somewhat comfortable by the skillful manipulation of each other. Now, the ego, the voice for fear, is constantly distracting you from the real source of your problem. It convinces you that the wrath of God awaits you. And if you want to escape the wrath of God and escape that fundamental problem, you had better continue to defend and protect yourself and engage in entirely selfish actions at the expense, if necessary, of every one of your brothers and sisters. This approach, this style of distraction, keeps you from recognizing that it is the ego itself that is your problem. It points the finger out there at your brothers and sisters, at the countries in your world, at the political parties in your countries. It points the finger out even more infinitely to God. And turns your existence into a constant state of self-protection, fueled by compulsive fear. As a general rule, You don't feel it as starkly as it is actually. But I will tell you, and I don't really need to tell you, that the times, they are a-changing. And the starkness of evil, the starkness of the mean-spirited distraction from what solves every problem is no longer able to be experienced with as much comfort. And as a result, most everyone, to one degree or another, is experiencing heightened fear, together with heightened guilt. Because at the same time that the ego points its finger at another and says they are the problem, it also points the finger at you and says you are responsible for it. It even takes your spiritual teachings and tells you that your thinking has brought it on you. You are the culprit. You are guilty. And therefore, since there is no infinite loving source available to you, you are stuck with this untenable situation of being guilty and not being able to get free of it. Many of you, because of what is going on in the world scene or in individual countries or in communities or in families or friendships, many of you are finding yourselves experiencing fear, experiencing being discounted, finding that what of value you are able to share is not wanted. In fact, you are ridiculed. And this undermines your stability and your security even more than the general presence of fear and guilt. And so there is more discouragement than usual. And it seems to be just the way things are. The ego distracts you significantly enough that it is almost impossible to remember that, quote, there is another way to look at this, period, close quote. If you cannot remember that, in the midst of a state of fear, you will be stuck, and you will be inclined to take steps based on your misunderstanding of the nature of being. And you will use force in an act of desperate self-preservation that constitutes the outpicturing of further terrorism. Terrorism upon whatever you are acting against. And that magnifies the problem. You must find a way to remember that there is another way to look at this. You must find a way to remember that there is something that we've called the two-step. You must find a way to remember that there is something called the holy instant, which is the bridge out of the insane distortion of your mind that the voice for fear has created into the inherent, unchangeable, divine sanity of your being. And then you must have the courage. You must find the willing, not willful, the willing determination to plant your attention firmly in the holy instant, in that place where you are saying, Father, what is the truth here? Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? Separate and apart from what the voice for fear is describing, what is the God's honest truth here? What is God being here? And then, you must be willing to stay there until you hear the answer, without attempting to provide the answer first yourself. Terrorism is a result of a disconnection with your source, with your Father, with that infinite divine mind and infinite divine presence, which in its movement constitutes creation, constitutes everything of which you are aware, but of which you are experiencing a misperception because you've been listening to the voice for fear, which will tell you anything to get you to engage your personal will and forget to shut it up. And in the silence, turn away from the voice for fear to the Father or the Holy Spirit, truly wanting to know what the other way to look at it is, what the Father's way of seeing it is. Oh, the ego says, well, you've never done that before. What makes you think you're going to be able to have that experience now? And so when you try, when you make a point of becoming still and asking, your conditioning makes it difficult for you because you've been told that the wrath of God awaits you. You've been told that you're not divine. You've been told that you have no inherent worth and you have to earn it. And therefore there is no justification whatsoever for your hearing the voice for truth, for your hearing the voice for God. And that makes it difficult. That makes something that is utterly simple difficult. In the beginning, when Paul was able to hear me initially, it did not flow smoothly like it is right now. And I had to remind him many times, the answer is simpler than anything you're expecting. I had to tell him that because it's the truth and because that would help him relax and not try so hard to overcome a lack of skill that he thought he must have to have, which holy people have, but not everyone. Maybe you haven't experienced the voice for truth directly within yourself yet. Or maybe you have experienced it intermittently, but there is little confidence that it could happen again. Well, that's no reason to stop. Persistence will not give you the skill to do something that's difficult. Persistence will wear down the resistance to hearing. It will undo the strength of the belief you're entertaining that says it won't work. Now, you look at the world, you look at your communities, you look at your families, and you're confronted with situations that seem unresolvable, either because the members of the family or the community can't see any alternative or believe that there can't possibly be a viable alternative, or because you yourself and your conditioning are arguing against it. But again, the answer is step into the void. Step into that place where you lack control, authority, or the knowledge it takes to resolve the situation. Step into that not knowing place with the desire to have the knowledge needed imparted to you. And do it if for no other reason than I am telling you that the Father waits, the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, waits. I wait. The awakened brotherhood waits to fill you up with the answers, with the resolutions, with the inspiration, with the strength. To move out of the territory, to move out of the neighborhood in which terrorism lurks and seems to assert itself. You know what? The truth is true. It is true that you are the Holy Son or Daughter of God, the direct expression of the Father, and nothing less. And you are that right now. And it is the truth that you are that right now, in the middle of the kingdom of heaven right now, even though the definitions of yourself and your world as provided by the voice for fear has totally colored it, depriving you of the holy experience of yourself, your body, and your world. The ultimate is what you're right in the middle of, and this is the truth. And it's the truth that you forget when you're overwhelmed by the voice for fear, and you believe what it is saying about your brothers and sisters and your world and yourself. It is as though you're drugged into a stupor and you cannot think clearly and you believe what you are thinking. And yet that is not your natural state, and it is not your perfect conscious experience of being, which cannot be taken away from you, but which you can be distracted from when you are not carefully choosing your teacher. And so, one of the great lessons of A Course in Miracles is that there is another way to look at this, whatever it is. There is a way to look at it and see the more of what God is being right there than what the voice for fear is telling you is there and causing you to commit yourself to. If you want to become free of fear, if you want to be in that place where terrorism is not controlling you and manipulating you, you must remember this fundamental fact. There is another way to look at this. And then abandon the voice for fear. In other words, you must arrive at a place within yourself right when the voice for fear is at its loudest. And you must come to what seems like the totally irrational position of believing that every compelling thing the voice for fear is presenting you with is meaningless and does not deserve your attention or emotional response. And then, shut up. Turn to the Holy Spirit. Engage in the holy instant by saying, Father, Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? As I said, perhaps the bottom line, significant point to be recognized, which the Course presents, is this. There is another way to look at this. The ego could say, well, what's new about that? for centuries, forever. It's been a fact. There's another way to look at this. I mean, after all, people walked to get everywhere, and they said there's got to be another way to look at this. And so they started riding horses, and then they said there's got to be a better way than this, another way to look at it. And there were automobiles, and then there were planes, and on and on. And in every area of human life and human endeavor, there's been a constant overturning of the way things are seen. There is another way to look at this. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're not just talking about having some new creative mutual agreement for everybody to manipulate each other with and hold each other in line with and control. There is another way to look at this means there is a way to look at what I'm seeing as a material body, as mortals, as a material world and universe. There's another way for me to look at it than that. And that is to look for and desire to experience the kingdom of heaven, the actual movement of creation, right here, right now, that the infinite mind that is God is, I'm going to say, fabricating or bringing into an experienceable form, isn't the right word. Well, we'll say bringing it into an experienceable experience. That embodies all that the Father is. Including the fact that because God is love, every aspect of the experienceable experience is imbued with love, which is experienced by every part of creation, so that you are experienced by the flowers and the trees and the stars and the elements as the radiance of love loving them, just as they are experienceable by you as the radiance of love that they are, because it's all the infinite expression, the infinite experienceable experience that embodies, that expresses the fundamental love that God is, that the infinite mind is, that is moving and looking like all of creation. That's the different way to look at this. That is the different way. So be sure that you are not limiting what you expect to experience when you say, there is another way to look at this. Now, it's very simple. From the standpoint of everyday human experience at the moment, when you are overwhelmed by fear and guilt and self-criticism that always accompanies it, because that is what will distract you from returning to the Father, because you expect his wrath to meet you. When you remember to look for and be open to infinite holiness, but you're doing it in the midst of the onslaught of fear and guilt, you may well have to be diligent, determined, not determined to make a change happen, but determined in the form of self-discipline to listen for the voice for truth and nothing else. And when you catch yourself distracted, as in a meditation, bring your attention back. And stay with the teacher who will reveal the truth about everything and the truth about you. I am not meaning to imply in any way that hard times are upon everyone, or that it's going to get worse like, quote, the end times, unquote. I'm simply pointing out that the illusion is wearing thin. What the voice for fear teaches is incapable of registering with everyone as significantly as it used to, as though it were truth. And this is felt as a disturbance, because after all, it would be nice to keep the status quo. I mean, after all, there's been a certain amount of reasonable peace for all these centuries. But the illusion is wearing thin, which means that you're faced with a very practical help in your awakening. And this very practical help is that remaining asleep isn't going to work anymore. You're going to lose what you thought the status quo was. Thank God. This can be discouraging. Or you can, in a mature way, look at it and say, okay, no more fooling around. I can't dally with the ego any longer, while my divinity is held in trust as the Holy Spirit, unavailable to me as my conscious experience of my individuality and identity. I can't maintain that anymore, and so I'm going to stop, and I am going to make commitment to remember the fundamental point There is another way to look at this. And then act upon that by engaging in the holy instant, practicing the two-step. Now, a simple piece of advice. When you join with the Holy Spirit and you listen for its guidance and the coming together of all that you are begins to occur, so that the Holy Spirit is not something different from your conscious experience of being. You may find, as I said earlier, that others will say, "I don't want what you have to give. What you are calling clarity is nonsense." You know, just as you, when you are in the thick of your relationship with the voice for fear, think that returning to the Father is not going to be your salvation. When that happens and there is a refusal to value what you are sharing, be wise. And ask further of your connection with the Holy Spirit that is nothing more than your right mind, whether or not you should persist, or whether you should turn your back and walk away and find those who are ready to embrace and enjoy the benefit and the growth that comes from what you have to give. It's very simple. The more who awaken, the fewer there will be who are asleep. The fewer who are asleep means that the strength of the mutual agreement is weakened. And so instead of working with the hardcore, committed individuals who insist upon listening only to the voice for fear and doing little to lessen the strength of the mutual agreement, because there is no real contribution to the number of those awakening, go to those who are hungry for the truth and facilitate their awakening, because, if I may put it this way, that's the only thing that will break the back of the terrorizers. That's the only thing that will take away the strength of the mutual agreement that makes it seem reasonable for those who are addicted to the voice for fear to continue. Oh, but she's my mother. Oh, but she's my daughter. Oh, but she's my wife. I must stay. And fight with her will to overcome it and weaken it so that she sees the truth. Don't get me wrong. Always be willing to share the truth. But don't dedicate yourself to those who are dedicated to not hearing it. Another aspect of maturity that will contribute to the speed up, the acceleration of the breakdown of the mutual agreements that keep the voice for fear alive. That is love. That is love. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that the good news is that it is now becoming increasingly difficult to engage in and maintain illusion. And this means that you will have to be willing to abandon your use of manipulation and control to keep you safe and let it push you, let yourself be pushed by the demands of the times you're in. To shift from your exercise of control out of fear and guilt to an inner state of innocence and humility that will flow with the movement of mind, the infinite mind that is the Father, so that the movement of mind that constitutes creation now, registers with you as what it is instead of what the voice for fear had been telling you it was. Some old habits will have to be dropped. The habit of ruminating over the awfulness of the situation here or there or elsewhere. Shock at the boldness of evil. All of this distracts you from noticing how you are using your mind and keeps you from recognizing the simple step that needs to be taken. Oh, there is another way to look at this. I am going to engage in the two-step. I'm going to employ the holy instant. With diligence and dedication, I'm going to do that and nothing else. And if I find myself waffling back and forth, I'm going to catch myself and rededicate myself to doing only that. Only listening for the voice for truth. Until I hear it, and then I'm going to continue to listen here, listen here, listen and hear, so that the way I be is in perfect harmony with the way the infinite mind that is God moves. And I can see it and recognize God in it and know my place. Which is always to defer to God. Because in deferring to the way things are, I experience the way things are without fear and guilt and with a full comprehension and understanding of the absolute divinity of everything that is going on right here and right now, and I no longer suffer from the idea that it's somewhere off after I die. This is the good news. It may sound as though I was unnecessarily repetitive tonight, but I know that there are going to be many occasions, very often, in the middle of the night, in the darkness where fear takes over, that many will listen to what I have just said. And my constant elucidation of the truth will wear down their commitment to their fear and help release them. And I know that every one of you who has been listening as I have been speaking, we will say, live, have likewise been moved. Even if you weren't in the darkness of despair at this very moment. I love you all. And I look forward to being with you next time.